The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Welcome back to another post-game show with your Bastards of Boston Baseball. I'm your host, Charlie Smith. You can find me on Twitter /X at Smith_MLB. My co-host for today will be Terry Cushman, the one and only, at Cushman MLB, who's famous on MLB Network rather recently. I believe that was a recent tweet that you got posted.
No.
Is that not recent?
2021. No.
Oh, man. See, I don't remember that one, but... anyways, we'll fast forward. Red Sox sadly dropped the third game of the Toronto Blue Jays series. They are able to win the first one 4-1, the second game 7-1, most importantly, Crochet's Day, and then unfortunately dropped game 3. Overall, they outscored Toronto 12-8. Not a bad situation. We end up taking 2 out of 3 here. What's your key takeaway?
I'm looking to see if the Yankees game went final, actually. If they held up for the win, you'd think I'd have that ready. They did. Okay. So officially the Red Sox can't win the division now because the Yankees and Blue Jays are both 4 games up in the win column with only 3 games to go. So the math isn't there. Correct. Also out of play at this point is the 4th seed, which would be the top wild card slot. So that's gone. So no home games for the Red Sox. Now, we'll get into which team we'd rather face later on. It'll probably be either the Blue Jays or the Yankees. For what it's worth, the Blue Jays do own the tiebreaker over the Yankees. Yankees are playing the Orioles in the final game of the season. Blue Jays are playing the Rays. So pretty soft there for both of them. We have the Tigers, who on paper look scary, but you know, haven't been playing well lately.
They've been a cupcake the last 2 weeks.
Exactly. So as far as tonight goes, you know, it was kind of a mixed bag for Bayo. He battled and was winning the mental battle up until almost the very end. There was traffic on the bases all night, including runners in scoring position. And until the 6th inning, none of them scored. And so I like to see him battle. I like to see him winning those types of scenarios because he's been a raging head case his whole career. And this year is finally, you know, the breakout. I would call this a breakout year for him, but it went sideways in the 6th inning. Trevor Story didn't do him any favors with that bad throw. It's like his 4th one in the last week and a half, something like that. So I don't know if he's got the yips. I don't know what the deal is. There shouldn't be a ton of pressure on the Red Sox. The magic number is 1. Any Red Sox win or any Astros loss sends us into October. I think it's just a formality at this point. It's coming. And so, you know, we didn't get it done tonight. A couple of big things were out of play. It was a really low percentage chance to win the division or even get that 4th wild card or the 4th seed in the playoffs. So what were your thoughts?
Yeah, no, I mean, my thoughts as soon as the Grand Slam was hit was we just lost the opportunity for the division, the top wild card, just like you said. And it was going to take a perfect remainder of the season in order for us to get it done. And it just didn't happen. Doug and I were talking about the series, and I said, you got to win game two. If you're going to win two out of three, it's probably going to be the Detroit series. You're probably finishing this year up 3-3. The problem is 3-3 might not get you there. You do need four wins. And you got two in this series, and I'm still thinking there's a chance that we can get two in Detroit. Now, if for whatever reason we're only able to get one, it doesn't matter. If you get one, you're in. So the level of pressure has dissipated a little bit. Now, granted, you need one win in four games before today's action. You're feeling pretty good about it. But now you have a three-game set against a team that is fighting for survival. And you have a pitcher on that team who's fighting for the Cy Young because it's not a lock right now. He damn near killed someone in his last appearance. You could tell he was really shaken up. And he's never really had to deal with this kind of pressure. And he's now going to be pitching in a ballpark where, you know, pressure is a regular thing for 160 games a year, as my dog greets the air. The fact of the matter is, there is one at-bat in particular that really upset me. And that was the Anthony Santander at bat in the sixth inning. And what happened in the sixth inning, I'm going to say, was not necessarily unspeakable, but it was pretty damn annoying. Anthony Santander has not played a full season. You can say, oh, but he was really good last year. I don't care about last year. There were pitchers that were relevant last year that weren't relevant this year. There were hitters that were fantastic last year that didn't do anything this year. Santander was in that bucket. So you start off 2-0, and to your point, Terry, you talked about the fact that Trevor Story didn't do him any favors in that inning. So you have that little weird funky throw and the swim move by Vladdy. Then you got Barger on there. You walk him almost on four straight pitches. None of them were in the zone. And then you have Santander. You start off 2-0 to a hitter that's not hitting. I mean, this guy took 4 minutes to round the bases in AAA. He's a disgrace. Then you're throwing sinkers and cutters and you're trying to be perfect and you yank the last one and you nail him. I'm sitting there going, why are we worried about Santander? There's a chance he could roll over on one and you turn two. Just throw it over the plate. Greg Maddux this thing. Stop trying to be perfect and paint the damn corners. It's 0-0 in the sixth inning. This is probably going to be your last inning if you can get out of it because you've already got runners at first and second. Why are we trying to be perfect to Anthony Santander? He's done. Three pitches later, 4-0. I mean, it's frustrating. Like I love this team. We've been there for all the highs and all the lows, and this felt like a really just bad low because it's yet another moment where your bullpen got exposed for being less than mediocre. You can't even get Anthony Santander out, and then right after that, Dalton Varsho hits a four bagger. Like, what are we doing? And then, you know, there wasn't really much punch after that. Yeah, you got the bases loaded, but Bayo got into trouble multiple times. He was able to retire Santander once. He got him looking on a pitch right over the plate. Why wouldn't you do it again? He's not scary. Terry, I think there are minor league pitchers, that could probably get him retired in four or five pitches. I think he's done. I'm not scared of Santander. And we just couldn't pitch to him. It was, to me, it was one of the worst at-bats we've faced all year, because this one we should have had and we didn't. And maybe we still lose the game, but this was an at-bat that we should have had. It's just unfortunate.
You don't think that grand slam, missing it by just maybe 5 or 6 feet, you don't think that was messing with Bayo a little bit?
He's hitting 180. That was dumb luck. He's hitting 180. I'm not afraid of Santander. There are four or five other guys on that team that I'd be afraid to hit. And one of them hit a home run today. George Springer hit the celebration like he just won game 7 of the World Series. Whatever. But he's someone that I'd be fearful of. Dalton Varsho, to his credit, hit a pitch that was up. It was like middle up in the zone. It was a good home run. It was a pitch that was not in the right spot, and he nailed it. You know, but this is a testament to the lack of the bullpen that you have outside of Garrett Whitlock and Aroldis Chapman. I don't think that toyed with Bayo at all. He was just trying to pinch the corner. If you look at that at bat again, and you see where those foul ball, the sinkers were, he was throwing like mid-90s, 94, 95, 96, in that range. And he's peppering that low inside corner. Then he yanked one inside, and then he takes a little bit off of it, but it's still too much. Not enough got taken off of it. Just throw it over the plate. Just throw it over the plate. I don't think it's going to be that damaging. And, you know, hindsight is 20/20. We already know what happened. He hit the batter. But to a guy that's hitting 180, I mean, what has Santander done in the last, like, 7 days? I have to look because I genuinely don't know. I still think he's irrelevant.
Oh, for 16 coming into today. Okay. So.
Why are we afraid of him?
Well, I mean, it just... You know? It was a little scary there for a second, so that's why I didn't know if perhaps that was messing with Bayo. I'm trying to figure out. Okay, so
he was 0-20 before that. Before today, he was 0-20.
Yeah, so one extra game. He had two hits on the. Oh my goodness!
Yeah, it was a Tampa Bay game.
Apparently, this was his second game since May 29th. So I don't know. Yeah. I don't know how much stock we could put into that, actually, but
that's fair.
But yeah,
that's fair.
But he's back, and I'll say one thing. You know, you would see a lot of Red Sox fans last winter, kind of not. I wouldn't say clamoring for him, but I mean, and we ended up with Bregman, which would have been the right choice of the two. But I didn't want a switch hitting lefty. You know,
no,
and. It just didn't make sense, especially at Fenway. So I'm glad the Blue Jays got him. You know, they'll get a chance in the playoffs to kind of salvage things with him. I mean, if he has a big October, it almost justifies the season anyway. But and I do like Santander. He just wasn't the right fit during the right winter for the Red Sox.
He was awful this year. I mean, if you look at his numbers. He if you were to multiply his numbers by three, he was over 170 strikeouts. He would have had 18 home runs and 54 RBIs. So he would have been halfway up where he was last year. Five doubles this year, multiply that by three, still 10 short runs. Everything is halfway. Like literally half of the performance got cut out when he went to Toronto. He's not the same player in Toronto. He's just not, injury or otherwise. I mean, Baltimore probably saw something that they got scared of, and that's just one of the many reasons why they didn't want to, you know, take a flyer on him. Done.
Yeah, I'm glad it wasn't us. Trevor Story said after the game, in regards to his throwing error, he says, "I think just not finishing the play late in the season, I think your body gets tired, but that's no excuse. It's just... really not finishing the play. It's on me." So he took ownership. I don't like him even mentioning he's tired at all. Even, you know, even though he's saying it's not an excuse, you know, you got to get amped up. The month of October, if you're lucky enough to get out of that first round, it's going to be emotional. It's going to be a roller coaster, and you just got to be ready for it. And Trevor Story has one postseason to his name. And I think it was a one-game wild card, and then a divisional series loss. So it's not like Trevor Story is a guy that, you know, can speak of these glorious past Octobers.
I'm with you. I want to take a one-second break. We have a lot of listeners that come in on a regular basis. But this one in particular sometimes chirps me. But this one, we're gonna give a 2 second shout out here. So Jules is 70 today. So Jules, you're pretty regular in our post game group. So we just want to say happy birthday from the Bastards, real quick. We're sorry that the Red Sox blew it on your birthday. Back to the show. I don't remember who in our group wanted Santander. I think there were some maybes. I don't think I was in that group that said yes, I want to get him. I really can't remember, though. I'd have to go back to prior shows. But I'm pretty sure there was a majority of us that said we don't need another left-handed hitter. And he is a split. You know, he does both. I'm still trying to figure out, you know, like where would this team have been, you know, hypothetically speaking, imagine if we didn't get Bregman, right? We didn't get Bregman and we did get Anthony Santander. We're not in the playoffs.
Well, just think of the implications. Maybe you don't trade Devers in that case. Like, so much history is flipped.
I don't know about that.
Well,
I don't know.
Who's going to play third? I mean,
they thought Alex Bregman was going to be the second baseman when he came to Boston. Who's to say that they wouldn't have gotten another third baseman if they didn't get Bregman?
I just don't know who was left at that point. I don't think any, because it was early. Well, it was almost reporting time for camp. So I don't know. It's an interesting question. And it just depends on if he gets hurt or not. I mean, Santander ideally is a DH. He's not a good
plenty
defender
of those
at all. Yeah.
Right.
So I
don't know.
I don't know.
Makes you wonder.
Let's talk about who we want to play. You know, New York's been the best team in baseball since the first week of August.
No, I don't want to face them.
They've got more wins than any team. They look good against us in the last series.
Right.
I feel like if you play Toronto, which would be in Toronto again, I feel like game one with Crochet is an automatic win. So the scary part is you'd have Brian Baio theoretically pitching game two. That's what he's lined up for anyway. They could switch it if they wanted to. But in the Rogers Center, Baio has a career 4.95 ERA. And then against the Blue Jays in general, he's got a 5.36 ERA. Not his best team. So while I'm giving Crochet an automatic win in game one, I mean, I don't feel great about game two. And then you got Giolito theoretically. Well, actually, I don't know if he would. Would he pitch game three? Because I think he
should.
Started,
he should, because the only other options you'd have early in there. I don't even think they're convinced that Tolley can be a starter right now. He throws 60% of his pitches for fastballs. Like, he throws 99, 100, which is wild. But I don't know if they trust him as a starter. I'm very curious. Like, until he delivers another couple options as far as pitches, what is Giolito's numbers? I'm trying to find it right now. What are his splits against Toronto?
I can grab it real quick, but he's lined up for Sunday. So if he pitches Sunday, he can't be the guy. You may not need to pitch him Sunday if it's not going to affect the seedings or anything, but pulling up Baseball Reference right now, his sample size isn't going to be huge pitching against the,
I got it up pitching right here.
Oh, you got it.
So he's 3-3 and 11 starts with a 4.43 ERA, 56 punch outs and 61 innings. He's given up 9 home runs with 30 earned runs, 18 walks. That's tough. That's tough.
Yeah. 4.43 ERA. So that's not, yeah, that's not good.
No.
So I don't know. I just don't. I feel like the Blue Jays offense is less dynamic than New York. So I think I'd rather face Toronto, honestly.
I mean, I don't think it's a question for me. I don't want to face New York. I don't. I mean, New York's starting to get hot at the right time. If anybody's been paying attention with what's been going on with their team, they've gotten some of their heavy hitters back, and I mean, you can count tonight's action. They won 5-3. Rodon got his 18th win. They've won 8 of their last 9, right? That's five in a row. I'm pretty sure it's 5 in a row and 8 of their last 9. So,
yeah.
I mean, this is a team that's, they're firing on all cylinders right now. And on paper, they're one of the hottest teams in baseball. They have scored the most runs in Major League Baseball. They have the second best run differential behind the Milwaukee Brewers. I want no part of the Yankees. And how many of us had the Yankees winning the division this year? Nobody. I don't think anybody, dude. I really don't. I'd have to look back at it. But, I mean, this is a team that we thought, okay, they lost Garrett Cole. They lost their ace. There's literally no way that's going to happen.
Yeah, I didn't even have them making the playoffs, so my bad.
You're not the only one. I mean, I think I also had them missing it too. It is what it is. What do you think is going to be the most important thing coming up into this series? Obviously, you need to get a win, but what do you think is the most important thing to see from the series outside of the win?
Well, I mean, momentum really is the big thing. You need Duran to heat back up. You need Bregman to heat up. Be nice if Willier could heat up. And so it's I don't know what day the playoffs start. Doing it on the fly here. I think it might start on Monday. And if that's the case, I mean, that could be, I honestly think no off days, provided that you don't need Giolito going in there Tuesday, September 30th. So there will be one off day before the playoffs start. So It's tough. I mean, outside of a couple of pitchers, a couple of hitters, and two relievers, there's just a lot of question marks with this team.
I think the most important thing that I want to see come out of this three-game set, I want to see consistency from your bullpen. Because if your starters, for whatever reason, start to get, you know, hit up pretty quickly, who are you going to lean on? If your offense isn't showing up, it's your bullpen. So I want to see a couple of steps up from literally everybody in the bullpen not named Garrett Whitlock and Aroldis Chapman. I need to see that at this point, because your bullpen pitching is what wins ball games. Pitching is what will get you into the postseason, and pitching is what will get you far into the postseason. If you don't have a good bullpen, you're done. I mean, the Padres went all in at the trade deadline. They traded, I think, like 8 of their top 11 or 8 of their top 13 prospects in order to get the beefiest bullpen, get an upgraded offense. They're a force right now. That is the best bullpen in all of baseball. At one point, all of their relievers were in and around like a 2 ERA. I went to the game in San Diego when their relievers struck us out 14 times after Michael King exited the game. After he exited, the relievers struck us out 14 times. That's insane. We don't have any level of bullpen support or bullpen mastery like that. I mean, we don't have anybody that can strike out the side and then the next inning strike out two and then the following inning strike out the side. They're the only team in baseball that has that. Every other team has had a major hit in some capacity. We don't have those big guns. We need to see them take a step up. No more giving up grand slams on the third pitch when you enter the game. That can't happen. You need to be locked down, because what are we going to do? Oh, bases are loaded in the fifth or sixth inning. You're going to bring Garrett Whitlock. And then when we have a dangerous situation in the eighth inning, bring in Aroldis Chapman, who's going to close out the game? You know, you cannot keep consistently relying on two guys all year. And that's what we've really been doing. So for me, the most important thing that I need to see have happen in this series, I need to see the bullpen absolutely light up the Christmas tree. I want it to look like Times Square bright, that good. And, you know, anything less than that, and they're going to be doing everything they possibly can to get our starters out so that they can face our bullpen. It's just going to be, don't worry about swinging at dumb pitches. They'll take themselves out of the game, you know?
And, you know, this team isn't really built to, like, it's not that wagon that you had in 2013 and certainly not in 2018. I mean, Romy Gonzalez can only carry this rotation for so long, and you know, and then he gets tired. I'm pulling up his numbers right now. I'd be shocked if Well, I guess I'm shocked. He's hitting 364. Well, this most recent week was better than the previous week, but yeah, still hitting above 300. And yeah, I guess the ball's just probably not going over the fence. He's driven in 8 runs the last 15 games. So maybe that's why he seems a little bit quiet. But when you lean on these guys too hard, I mean, they just kind of flame out. And so that's kind of what I'm worried about here. Let's play just hypothetical. Let's say these three guys are on your roster right now. Joe Ryan, Eugenio Suarez, who hit a moonshot tonight in Seattle, and Rafi Devers. Those three guys are on the roster. I'm thinking maybe a World Series, maybe. And, you know, Joe Ryan and Eugenio Suarez, they weren't going to cost you. You're not blowing up the farm to get those guys. You just made the conscious decision not to and told the fan base we were better off not doing it. So, you know, if it's an early exit, and I don't know if we're going to get tossed in the wild card round. I don't see us going to the LCS. I'll say that. But if it's an early exit, it is a self-inflicted early exit.
I think if you have Joe Ryan and Rafi Devers there, there's no way that you're not going far. I mean, you have arguably one of the best hitting third basemen in baseball. I know it hasn't really materialized the same way that everyone thought it was going to materialize, especially if you're a Giants fan. I think Buster Posey thought he was getting a 41 or 20 guy. And last I checked, I think Devers is probably like 33, 105, maybe. I have to look it up because I haven't been paying attention to him too much. And he did have, all right, 34-107. So I was pretty close. And he's probably going to finish the year with like 35-110, something like that. The most home runs he's ever had in his career was 38. The most home RBIs he's had in his career is 115. And he's hit the 100 plateau multiple times. Maybe he'll hit 110. I don't know. But I mean, this is a guy that you're hoping, if you're a young Giants fan, you want him to hit 40 home runs. You want him to hit 120 RBIs. The Mariners have a catcher that hit 60. I mean, that's like crazy. I didn't think we were going to see anybody not named Aaron Judge or Shohei Ohtani hit 60 home runs. And we saw it. And there's a chance that, you know, the big dumper could actually break the record for the most home runs in the American League. There's a chance. If he has another, you know, 2-3 home runs, it could happen. It's crazy.
Judge has this propensity of just kind of choking in the moment. You know, and
he is a choke artist. Just watch the 2024 World Series all over again. He was an absolute dumpster fire. Yankees fans would say the same thing.
He's only a 200 hitter in the month of October with a massive sample size of games. Like every year he's playing in October. And then the year it was looking like he might flirt with 70 home runs, but the second half of September, he just got so cold. Just to get to 62, I mean, it took him like 8 or 9 games without a home run before he could finally clinch it. So I think it kind of gets in his head, and you wonder maybe he just gets to a point in his career where he's just sick of that narrative and then just finally goes off. Mookie Betts kind of did that last season. Had the by far the best postseason of his career. David Price, arguably, did that in 2018 with the Red Sox. So, you know, eventually the narrative does get tired, but yeah, I'm not really in love with where we stand. We are going to play postseason baseball, not official yet, but it will be. And we'll see what happens. We're just along for the ride. You're on mute.
Yeah, no. I was talking as I was unmuting. It's going to be interesting, and I don't think he has a propensity to choke. I think the pressure is at a level that he's not, even though he's been in the league for almost 10 years, this is a boatload of pressure. I mean, you saw him absolutely flame out in the World Series. He was irrelevant. He had a couple extra base hits in 5 games. Your best hitter can't have just 2 extra base hits. A home run and 3 RBIs. The rest of the whole playoffs, I mean, against Kansas City, he had 2 hits, a single and a double. 154 batting average. Against Cleveland, I'm looking at it, 3 for 18, a 167 batting average. Two of his three hits were home runs. And then against the Dodgers, he went 4 for 18. One extra hit. That's it. And one less home run. Three less RBIs. I honestly don't think Aaron Judge is... He's a great player during the regular season because there's 162 games of Aaron Judge. But when it gets to the nitty-gritty of five-game sets and three-game sets, if he goes cold in that five-game set, or he gets cold in a three-game set, or God forbid, the seven-game set, it's not a small chance you're not going to make it. You will lose that series. You will lose. And it's because he doesn't go off. I'll leave it on that note. Do you want to get into the final series?
I just want to address Juan real quick because it's interesting. It'll only take a second. But Juan in the stream says, how do you guys feel about getting Schwarber in the offseason? 0% chance. Dave Dombrowski is going to lock him up. You know, the reason why it hasn't happened yet, Schwarber, it's his last chance for one decent contract for 4 to 5 years, I'm guessing. He's either 32, I think he's 32 years old. So still has, I would say, another at least 4 solid years, especially if it's some of it's going to be as a DH. Schwarber knows he has the leverage, so he's probably going to play the market. But I don't see any scenario whatsoever Kyle Schwarber is playing for any team next year but the Philadelphia Phillies.
Yeah, it's not happening. It's absolutely not happening. The guy has 56 home runs and 132 RBIs. Unless you're going to give him the moon in Boston, it's not happening. I mean, this is a guy who's being, you know, even with a sub 250 batting average, this guy's getting MVP, talks and consideration. I think it's going to be Shohei Ohtani that wins it anyways. Like, it doesn't matter. But, I mean, dude, he's an incredible hitter. I remember when we got him a couple years back, we had him for a short-term rental back in 21. Terry, we went to the game where it was Yankees-Red Sox. He was playing first base, and Nick Pivetta,
Eovaldi was on the mound.
Who was pitching? Eovaldi was pitching. I couldn't think of his name. Eovaldi was pitching. The ball went straight up into the air, and Kyle Schwarber never got to the ball. So he's not the best first baseman, let's say that. And he was frustrating. But for the Red Sox in 41 games, he had 7 homers and 18 RBIs. I was so sad and disappointed when he didn't come back for a 2-3 year deal. But they opened up the pocketbook, and you know, you look at his numbers. He's averaging 45 plus home runs a year in Philly. So a 46, a 47. I'm actually curious to see what his average is right now as it stands. He is averaging. Let's see. Oh, God. You ready for this? 47 home runs and counting. So there's a chance that if he keeps going, he might have 48 plus on a 4-year average. That's insane. You know, that's mental.
Yeah, and I think what ultimately made the deal not happen, I'm not saying it would have anyway, but when Bloom traded Renfro for Bradley, I mean... That was it. And then you had basically an all lefty outfield. I think, let's see, you had Verdugo. Who else was that?
What year are you talking about?
It would have been coming into 22. I wanted to say there would have been 3 lefty outfielders if Schwarber was one of them, but.
Well, Duran was there in 22.
I don't think he'd broken out yet. Like, coming into the season, he wasn't really a factor, I don't think.
I thought he was. Okay, I'm mixing my years then. I the opportunity to get him is gone. It's not happening. I wish it's not happening. You are correct. He had a very limited sample size in 22. Your outfielders were Verdugo. Oh, God. Jackie Bradley was listed as one of your outfielders. And Kike Hernandez. Okay. That was your
all right.
Field.
So,
Bobby Dalbec was our first baseman.
He was right.
Yeah. Jeez. God, that hurt. That whole team was sad.
I'll say this though, as far as Dalbec, I mean, he was coming off of a killer second half. So I'd be lying if I wasn't saying I wasn't at least curious to see what 22 would be like for him. But we all know how it went. So, but anyway, having said all that, would I be interested in Kyle Schwarber? Hell yeah. I just don't think it, I don't think it's going to happen. And how many times do you think, maybe a couple hours for a game, they're just doing workouts? Dave Dombrowski is a player's executive. He goes into the clubhouse and hangs out and all that. You know, he and Schwarber have like talked crap about the Red Sox like multiple times. So
100%.
If it came down to Philly and Boston and the money was close, he's choosing Philly every time.
Yeah, that team's committed to winning year in and year out. Can you say the same about our team? I can't. Yeah. So here we go. Game one. It's going to be an Apple TV special. So for those of you that don't have it, there should be a subscription, like a trial, if you haven't done it. If not, get a new email, create a new one. You got Harrison going up against Casey Mize. Kyle Harrison, actually not bad in his first start as a member of the Red Sox. I wanted him to go five innings. If he struck out four or five guys, walked two, three guys, and maybe allowed two, three runs, I would have called that a win for him. And he ended up doing better than that. He went six innings, allowed one run on four hits, and struck out five, walked two. So he did his job against Oakland. Against Casey Mize, Casey Mize has been a really good pitcher this year. He's 14-6, a 3.91 ERA, 131 strikeouts. A little bit rough for this month. He is 2-1. He's had a proper bit of support in a couple of those games. But I don't know. Do you think that Casey Mize has the edge over the Boston Red Sox this year? Do you think he can get the win?
The short answer is yes. And I don't know what Kyle Harrison is going to do. I mean, he's a lefty. I know some of Detroit's best hitters are lefties, Riley Green, Kerry Carpenter in particular. So I don't really know how he matches up. He's, you know, essentially been a failed starter up to this point, and the Red Sox are hoping they can tap into something here. I missed his previous start because I was in Iowa over the weekend. But I don't know. I might give Detroit the edge in that game just because maybe they woke up tonight against the Guardians and they need one more win. They need one win and an Astros loss, and that's what gets them into the postseason. So their magic number is two. But you can do that all in one night. And I think Fenway Park will be electric. Right. I think it'll be a playoff feel for both teams. So if Detroit woke up tonight, you know, this could be a tougher series than we expect for a team that's very cold coming into it.
I said, I don't remember which show it was, but it is several weeks ago. It's going to come down to the final series. It will come down to the final series. The last series will dictate where the Red Sox land, if they land in the postseason. And it's going to be all against Detroit. I didn't think Detroit was going to, you know, absolutely blow it and go 1-11 and 12-game stretch. I didn't see that coming. That was not at all in my deck of cards. But if you don't win game one, you must win game two. It will not feel the same way if you lose all three and Houston loses all three. It's not going to, you know, it's not going to feel good at all, because game three of that series, game two, it's Conley early going against TBD. That could be a bullpen game. We don't know. And the third game is Tarik Skubal against our TBD. So I don't know who they could potentially throw in the third game of this one. I'm not sure. Maybe you have an idea.
Well,
I don't
it's
know.
Lined up to be Giolito.
Do you think Giolito will pitch though?
If needed,
you're right. I think it is Giolito.
Yeah,
you're
if
right.
needed, he'll definitely pitch. But you know, if the Astros lose, I don't know what's really at stake here. How many wins do the Tigers have? Do we know this?
Tigers were at, shoot, were they at 86?
80.
Let me see. Hold on.
Yeah, it is 86.
Yeah, 86-73.
Okay, so it just depends. Okay. They have the tiebreaker over us, so if we win, what, one out of... So if we only win one...
You win one. You need one.
No, yeah, but then that gives us 88 wins. That would give Detroit 88 wins. So they would get the they would get the.
Are you sure Detroit has a tie? You're sure that Detroit has a tiebreaker?
Well, they swept us, so if they all they need to do is win one game in this series, and they'll have the tiebreaker.
Yeah, you're right. I forgot about the sweep. For some reason, I thought that series. Oh, damn.
That was the night Campbell, he was still with us, hit that late home run, and I thought it gave us a lead, and then we coughed it back up and then lost it in extras. But,
right. You're right.
Yeah, so
they do on. They,
so
they
wanna, it, yeah. it. So getting back to the Giolito question, is it important for the Red Sox to be the fifth seed or the sixth seed? I don't know if it's important or not. You're not playing at Fenway no matter what. If you're the right. sixth seed, I think you would end up playing the Guardians, which I don't think scares us. And if you're the fourth seed,
I don't think you can play. I don't think you can play placement manipulator. I think if you're the Red Sox right now, you have to do everything you possibly can to get that win. You have to get in there. And then after that point, maybe you can play that game, but I don't think the Red Sox want to be that team that's like, we just didn't care because we wanted a specific spot in the, you know, the seeding and whatnot. I think that's a bad juju. I don't want that. You know, and if we end up getting seed against the Yankees, so be it. I'm not going to be thrilled about it. And maybe we get lucky. Maybe we do end up beating the Yankees. Who knows? Maybe they completely fall flat on their face. Who knows? You know?
Well, we'll see.
We'll see. Yeah. Anything else you want to add?
That's all I got.
All right. That's going to do it for the Bastards of Boston. Everyone have a great one. Take care.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.